Today's daf is Tainis daf test. We are holding on the bottom of daf Chesam and Beis at the two dots. What we're going to do today is first we're going to have four different statements from Rabbi Yochanan. There's a lot of Rabbi Yochanan in today's daf. A lot of Rabbi Yochanan at the beginning of Tainis in general, but a lot of Rabbi Yochanan in today's daf. Four statements of Rabbi Yochanan. Then we're going to have two interactions between Rabbi Yochanan and the Yanuka de Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish's child. One of them is going to be about whether one is allowed to test Hashem for schar for certain mitzvos, and another is going to be about blaming Hashem when we do things that are wrong and things don't turn out well, that people have a tendency to blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu for those things. Then the Gemara is going to Rabbi Yochanan is going to teach about the idea that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides parnasa, it's only b'shvil rabim. It's when there's a group of people that needs it. It's not for the sake of the yachid. We're going to question that and try to prove that's true. And on Beis, we're going to talk about the other half of the sentence, which is matar b'shvil yachid. When Hashem gives rain, Hashem will give rain even for an individual, not just for the rabbim. And then at the end of the daf, there's going to be a machlokas, which sounds like a machlokas and metzius, of where rain comes from. How does rain happen? Where does the water come from that makes it rain? So let's begin at the two dots. We are at the about 5-6 lines before the end of the page. Kibbutz Kayosot Tzedakah Parnei Simin. So says Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Statement number one of Rabbi Yochanan. Gadol Yom HaGeshamim Kiyom Kibbutz Galios. The day of rain is as great as the day of the ingathering of the exiles. Shenemar Shuva Hashem Eshvisenu Ka'afikim Ba'Negev. That when we returned with Kibbutz Galios, it's like Afikim Ba'Negev. What's Afikim? Vein Afikim Elamatar. Afikim is a reference to rain. Shenemar V'yir Afikayam. So we see that when they're shuva shvisenu, that's the same as afikim, that's the same as rain. So the rainy day is as great as the day of Kibbutz Galios. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan also says, Gadol Yom HaGeshamim Shafilu Kayasos Poskos Bo, that the rainy day is so great that even the enemy soldiers will stop attacking on that day. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, Atlameha Rave Nachas Kidudeha. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, third statement of Rabbi Yochanan, Ein HaGeshamim Netzarin El Bishvil Poskei Tzedakah Barabim Ve'in Nosin. If it doesn't rain, it's on account of people that commit or pledge to give tzedakah publicly, but then don't deliver on that pledge. Then they don't actually give the tzedakah. Shenemar, pasuk says, Nesiim Veruach V'Geshem Oyin ish mishalel b'matas sheker, that when there's geshem oyin, when there is no geshem, it's because ish mishalel b'matas sheker. A person takes praise and gets credit for false giving, meaning a person gives pledges publicly, so everyone thinks he's such a generous person, but then he doesn't deliver on that pledge, and it's a matas sheker, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not make it rain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't deliver on the promise of rain. Va'am Rabbi Yochanan, the fourth statement of Rabbi Yochanan, Mai dechsiv aser ta aser. What does the pasuk mean when it has a double lashon aser ta aser? It means aser bishvil shetis asher, that one should give maestros, and on account of giving maestros, he's going to become very wealthy. He's going to become rich. Aser ta aser is to become rich. Now, the obvious reason for the drasha is the double lashon. Meaning, otherwise, it would just be a mitzvah to give maaser. The double lashon tells us shetis asher, that you're going to become wealthy. So the Marsha just points out that there is a general machlokas about Metziah Daf Lamed Aleph, where the dibra Torah kolashim bnei adam or lo dibra Torah kolashim bnei adam. The concept of dibra Torah kolashim bnei adam would be that sometimes the Torah will use a double expression because that's the way people speak, and the Torah is trying to speak to people. So it's not necessarily a source for a drasha. But the Marsha writes that even if you generally hold dibra Torah kolashim bnei adam, when there is room for a drasha, when there's something to darshan, we make the drasha. It's just that when we don't have any drasha, it's fair game to say that dibra Torah kolashim bnei adam. The Mitzvah Eisen says, no, must be that, we know who the Baal HaMeimer is over here. It's Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan holds lo dibra Torah kolashim bnei adam, meaning that there's only room for this drasha of aser b'shvil shetis asher if you hold that the Torah doesn't speak b'lashon bnei adam. Marsha also points out that we could explain this drasha in two ways. It could be read, I pronounced it one particular way, but it could be, there are no nekudos in the Gemara, it could be read a different way. It could be aser b'shvil shetis asher, or it could be read aser b'shvil shetis aser. Is that a shin or a sin in the word tis a? whatever, tis asher, tis asher. If you read asher b'shvil shetis asher, so it's like we said, you give meiser and you become rich from giving meiser. But it could also mean asher b'shvil shetis asher, as a mitzvah, gedaras mitzvah kind of thing. That when one gives meiser, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give him the wherewithal to give meiser again. Meaning he's going to be successful enough that he'll give meiser again later on because of the fact that he did the mitzvah the first time. The Shagas Aryeh just points out in Gevuras Ari, he raises the question that this pasuk is already darshan in the Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that b'shnei maisros hakasa medaber, that we're talking about two maisros, maiser behema, maiser daga, and tell me that we're not ma'aser min hachadosh al yashan by both maiser behema and maiser daga. So we already have a much more halachic drasha from this pasuk. So he says, yeah, but if that were the case, then it should have just said aser aser or ta'aser ta'aser. The change of the lashon from aser to te'aser tells us that you could make a second drasha, just like we had earlier in the Masechta, aseich aseich nesach nesach. Right? It's the fact that it shows two separate lashonos teaches us that we can make two separate drashos from the same pasuk. It's a very interesting concept, this idea that you're going to give meiser b'shvil shetis asher, so that a person will become wealthy. The Tosfos of here quotes from the Sefri that when the Torah says aser ta aser is kol tvuas aracha, it's not talking about the meiser of tvuas aretz, because then it wouldn't have had to say aser ta aser is kol tvuas aracha, as kol tvuas aracha, it would have just said aser ta aser as tvuas aracha. What's kol? So the Sefri Darshan's kol tvuas aracha means that all other benefits that a person has, all other gains that a person has, he's supposed to give meiser from. So that's where we get the concept of meiser k'safim. The Sefri points out that's where meiser k'safim comes from this pasuk, and it's from kol tvuas aracha, from the kol in the pasuk. That's the source of meiser k'safim. The Bach in Yerudeon Simon Shin Lamed Aleph writes that the meiser k'safim is not a chiv min haTorah nor a chiv midrabanan. It's only a minug, very much against the Sifri that Tosfos is quoting. I mean, the Sifri that Tosfos is quoting sounds like it's a din d'oraisa, and even if you want to say it's just an asmachta, we come up with an asmachta for dinim d'rabanan. We don't come up with an asmachta for minhagim. So it sounds very much from the drasha of the Sifri that it would be a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabanan, not like the Bach, who says that it's only a din d'rabanan. So the Achronim try to defend the Bach. What does he do with the Sifri? So the Shvos Yaakov Chelik Beis, Simon Pehei, writes that the chiv meiser k'safim, like the Bach says, is not min haTorah, not midrabanan. All the fact that the Sefri quotes a pasuk, that's we don't paskin like the Sefri. We paskin like the Talmud Bavli, and Talmud Bavli never quotes any drasha for a chiv of meiser k'safim, and therefore, based on Talmud Bavli, we have every right to assume that it's only a din midrabanan. The Chavos Yireh proves it from the fact that we see Chavos Yireh says, "What's the greatest raya that it's only a minag?" Because there are a lot of Jews that don't do it. He says, you have chad bi'ir, that actually is makbid to give meiser k'safim properly. If it were din d'rabban, din d'arais, would be a terrible kitrug against Klal Yisrael, that so many people don't do this mitzvah. So he says, that's the raya, that it's got to be only a minug. It can't be that it's a din d'arais or a din d'rabbanan. And the Chuvus Maram Rutenberg also says that it's only a minug. Beis Meir in Yerudeon, Simon Shin Lamed Aleph over there, says that the Bach can't possibly mean to say that there's no chiv to give meiser k'safim at all. What he just means when he says that it's only a minhag, he means that it's not included in the general issue of Maaser Ani, in the general mitzvah of Maaser Ani. It's just, it's a chelik of a mitzvah of tzedakah. And there's a big nafkamina whether it's part of Maaser Ani or a chelik of a mitzvah of tzedakah. Let's say a person himself is very poor, but he has a tiny little field where he gets his basic sustenance, he gets a little bit of grain from that field. Does he need to give Maaser Ani? The answer is absolutely yes. He has to give Maaser Ani. That's part of a chiv of Maaser Ani. It's a mitzvah like any other mitzvah. But when it comes to tzedakah, he has parnasas atzmo comes first. He doesn't have to give a certain measure of tzedakah. His own parnasa would come first. So that's what the Bach wanted to say. When he says that it's not a darais or a darabani, he meant that it's not the din of meiser. It's not a din of meiserani where a person is going to have to give no matter what his financial standing is. If a person himself is struggling, he's not going to have to give give Maisuk Safim. The other defense that they the Chida writes in Birka Yosef, he says, why is it that so many people don't give? He says, what are you talking about? Everyone gives Maisuk Safim. It's just a matter of what you cheshbon to be included in what you can give for Maisuk Safim. He says, Parnasav Banav Ubanosav is also Maisuk Safim. That's also tzedakah. So when one supports his children, usually it's well more than 10% of a person's money that goes to supporting and educating, certainly, and a person's children. So that's Maisuk Safim. So either you say that Klal Yisrael doesn't do it, and therefore it's a raya that it's not a real mitzvah, or you say Klal Yisrael does do it, and it is a real mitzvah, but we're very liberal in how we define doing Maisuk Safim. These are all justifications. It sounds like the Pasha is the person who's really supposed to give Maisuk Safim, really supposed to give Tzedakah. Rav Moshe has a fascinating chiddush. Rav Moshe writes in Igros Moshe of Ne'ezer Chelek Dalet Simul Chavav that based on this Sifri, the din is to give Mikol Ravachim, from all benefits that a person has, not just from the grain that a person grows in his field, from anything that a person has. So he says the same is true not only of financial things, but he says if a person is a Talmud Chacham and he has what to give, he has what to offer, so he shouldn't only learn with people who are on his level or people who are on a higher level than him. A person has to give of his time in order to do chesed with other people. So a Talmud Chacham who learns should learn with people who are lesser than him, who can gain from learning with him. And he says it's mistaver that the sheer of the amount of time that you're supposed to spend doing that is 10% of the time. 10% of a person's time should be dedicated to giving to others. And he said it's also mistaver, though, that just like there's a din by tzedakah, vazir zali vazir yosem richomesh, that it's supposed to be up to 20%, but it shouldn't really be more than 20%, is that when a person is a Talmud Chacham and he wants to learn, up to 20% of his time should be spent giving to others in terms of learning, but the rest of it he has to continue to grow and to develop as a Talmud Chacham in his own right. Okay, says Gemara. Ashkei, now that we have two stories where Rabbi Yochanan and the Yanuka de Reish Lakish have what to do with each other, where they have a conversation. The first one relates to this concept of aser b'shvil shetes asher. Ashkei Rabbi Yochanan the Yanuka de Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan ran into the child of Reish Lakish. Amalei emeli psukeich. So he told the child of Reish Lakish, where apparently it was a common thing in the times of Chazal to tell the child, tell me the pasuk you learned today. So Amalei aser ta'aser. So he said, I learned the pasuk aser ta'aser. Amalei may aser ta'aser. He says, okay, so what's the taich? What does it mean? Amalei aser b'shvil shetes asher. So the child said, it means that you give meiser, and that will be a skula to become an ashir. Amalei minalach. He says, well, where do you know that from? Which the achronim all point out is a very strange question. He just told him where he knows it from. Aser ta'aser. It's a pasuk. What does Rabbi Yochanan want from him? But okay, so he says, where do you get this from? Amalei zil nasi. He says, where do I get it from? Where do I know it from? Go check it out. See if it works. Go give meiser and see if it works. You'll see that it works. Amalei mishari l'nasui l'akadosh baruch hu v'aksiv l'sanasu es Hashem. I should go test HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it says l'sanasu es Hashem. You're not allowed to test Hashem to see that He gives you the reward that you want when you do a mitzvah. Amalei hachar Rav Hoshea chutz mizu. So he says, you should know, Rav Hoshea said chutz mizu, that this is an exception. Generally speaking, we're not allowed to do a mitzvah with the understanding or the expectation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us a specific reward for the mitzvah. Tzedakah is different. The person is allowed to give tzedakah with the expectation of a particular reward. So we pointed out on Tuesday night that Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav that Rav Salvechik was very particular when he made a Mishaberach that he would only say Bishvil that he's going to give tzedakah. He would never say Bishvil that he's going to be Mevarech or Bishvil anything else. It was always Bishvil that he's going to give tzedakah, because he held that you can't expect any, you can't say I'm going to ask for a bracha or for a certain blessing for certain people for any other mitzvah other than tzedakah. It's only tzedakah where you get to call the shots, where you get to say I'm doing it for this purpose but not for other mitzvahs. So it's based on this Gemara. Chutz mizu, this is the exception. Shnemar haviyu es kalamasra el beisa otzer v'yitarf b'beisi b'chanuni na b'zos amar Hashem tzavakos, and test me on this, Hashem says. Im lo aftach lechem es arubas hashemayim v'arikos lechem bracha ad b'lidai. If I don't open up the windows of heaven and shower upon you blessings until it's b'lidai. So my ad b'lidai, what does it mean ad b'lidai? Amar Rami bar Chama amar Rav ad sheyivlu sifsosecha milomar dai. Till our lips are tired from saying the word dai, though our lips will be worn out from saying the word dai. Some of the achronim point out that the word dai is not a word that you use your lips to say. It's a word that you use your tongue to say. It's not a bez or a mem or one of the words, or it doesn't have any of the letters that you use your lips for. for. So some say it means yivlus sosechem from disuse, because all you're going to be saying is die, 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 so you're never going to be using your lips, and that's what yivlus sosechem means. Or come up with something else, meaning die. Probably pashas it means that you're not saying, first of all, yivlus sosechem is an expression. Second of all, you're probably not just saying die, you're saying a lot of things. You're in expressing the emotion of die, you're using a lot of other words. And if you use enough words, you use some words that have mems and bases, etc. He says, wow, if I would have been aware of that pasuk, if I would have been paying attention to that pasuk, I would not have needed your teaching or the teaching of Rav Hoshea, who you're quoting it from. So that was one story with Rabbi Yochanan and the Yanuka the Reish Lakish. The Radvaz writes in the Tshuva, the Radvaz was asked, if a person wants to give tzedakah, is it better for him to take a neder to give tzedakah and then to deliver on that neder, or is it better just to give tzedakah without a neder in advance? The Gemara in Maseches Nedarim says that it's tov l'adam shelo lidor, that it's always better for a person not to take a neder, because if he doesn't deliver on that neder, that's a very, very bad thing. There are terrible curses for a person who takes promises and doesn't deliver on the promises. So, but on the other hand, very often it's a good motivator. A person has in mind that he's going to give tzedakah, but if he doesn't take a neder, he'll change his mind later on. The Yitzhar will get the best of him later on. Right now he feels very generous. He sees a need. He sees an ani. And later on he decides to change his mind. So the Radvaz writes in his Tshuva that the person who knows benafsha that by giving the neder it's going to be mizaris him to give tzedakah, absolutely started to give neder, and his raya is from our Gemara. Why is his raya from our Gemara? Because even though our Gemara says you're not allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, ubechanuni no bezos, you're allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Why is tzedakah different? Why is it specifically by tzedakah you're allowed to test Hashem? Says the Radvaz, it's because tzedakah is unlike any other mitzvah where we're focused on just doing the actions, do the mitzvah. When it comes to tzedakah, we're focused on getting the money to the poor person. I mean, we're focused on the goal of making sure that the poor person receives the necessary funds. So since the ikar is the takana la'aniyim, that they get the money in the end of the day, we shouldn't pay as much attention to whether this is in our best interest to give it in this way or that way. We have to pay attention to how's the money going to get there in the end of the day. So it could be on a personal level, it's better not to take nedarim in terms of looking inward at ourselves. It's better not to take nedarim than it is to take nedarim. But at the end of the day, what's going to increase the likelihood that the ani is going to receive money? If I take a neder, so then you take the neder, says the Rebbe. That's why you're allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chanun yinavizos, because if that's what's going to encourage a person to give tzedakah, to know that he could give tzedakah for his chus of refuah, for his chus of whatever it is that he's looking for, so that will motivate him to give tzedakah. So good, so then you're allowed to test Hashem and give tzedakah. There's a tshuva in the Minchas Yitzchak in Chelch Beis, Simon Pei Dalid, where he proves from our sugya that the mitzvah of tzedakah is betakanas aniyim, like the Radvaz says, and therefore he says it doesn't matter whether you do the mitzvah of tzedakah directly or you do it al yidei grama. Mitzvah of tzedakah, since it's not focused on the maisa, even if you do it al yidei grama, meaning what if you make a phone call to your bank and transfers funds into tzedakah, so is that you're not actually giving the money to the tzedakah? It's in a very indirect way. No, but it doesn't. The maisa, it's not the maisa of giving. It's the fact that the person is getting the money from your account that really matters. He uses that to explain why he believes that a person, it's not just tzedakah, it's all chesed. The chesed is we're oriented more toward the other person than we are toward ourselves. It's the nature of chesed. And he says by bikur cholim, there's a discussion in poskim whether a person can be mekayim in the midst of bikur cholim by calling on a telephone, or you have to go pay a personal visit. So most of the poskim say the logical thing, that a personal visit is better because it's more meaningful. If you can't do a personal visit, calling on the telephone is the next best thing. And the point is that you're making the person feel better, that you're concerned for them, that you care for them. Or by nichum avelim, it's obviously best to go in person. If you can't, so then you call on the telephone. That's the next best thing. By bikur chol is an additional inyan. The Gemara says that when you go to be mevakar chol, it's important to see the chola so you could assess their condition and then be inspired to daven for them. That's part of the mitzvah bikur chol, is to daven for the chola. You may not be able to do that as well over the telephone. But Minchas Yitzchak has a strange analysis of it. He says it's all an issue of whether being mekayim the mitzvah lidei grama works, because through a telephone counts like a grama. So what does it work to be mekayim the mitzvah bikur chol lidei grama? So he says it's a chesed, so it works lidei grama, and therefore you can be mekayim the mitzvah by a telephone. A very, very unusual analysis of that mitzvah. mitzvah. Okay, so that was the first interaction between Rabbi Yochanan and the, or the first recorded interaction at least, between Rabbi Yochanan and the child of Reish Lakish. Just one more ha'ara. Rav Shimon Shkap in his Hakdama to Shari Yosher understands aser b'shvil shetis asher, not like the Radvaz, that it's just all about being focused on the ani, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu will give this bracha because that's what will make you want to give by giving this bracha. It's a motivator. Rav Shimon Shkap writes that he says if you have, let's say, a person, you hire somebody to manage your finances, and this person is very, very good with money. He's scrupulously honest, and he's a very smart investor. He's very savvy. He also happens to be someone who has his vices. He smokes, he drinks, whatever he has, whatever vices that he has, that he does. So would you not trust him with your money? Well, of course you trust him with your money. If he does a good job with your money, you keep giving him money. You may not like him, you may not like things that he does, but he's a Baal Lashon Hara. He may be a bad guy, but you'll still trust him with your money because he's doing the right things with your money. On the other hand, you could have a person who's a tzaddik and a sweetheart and does everything right, and he's a masmid. He learns so much that he never remembers to invest your money properly, and but he's terrible with money. So you would never trust such a person with you. You wouldn't give him your money to invest your money. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu works the same way, says Rav Shimon Shkap. When it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a pikadon. He tests you with a little bit of money. And he says, okay, what are you going to do with it? So if you treat the money properly, if you invest the money properly in tzedakah and giving and helping other people and giving to aniyim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm willing to overlook everything else when it comes to the decision of whether I'm going to give you more money. Meaning you could be a Baal Lashon Hara, and not that you're allowed to be a Baal Lashon Hara, but even if you are a Baal Lashon Hara and a Mechal Shabbos and everything else, but you could be trusted with money. So Mela, I'll give you more money since you can be trusted with that money. On the other hand, if a person can't be trusted with money, even if he's the biggest tzaddik in the world, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to give him more money. So that's a Aser B'Shvil Shetes Asher, that specifically with tzedakah, it works for more money. It doesn't necessarily work for greater schar in other areas, but for that particular schar of being trusted with more money from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, B'su Asher Rabbi Yochanan Nukad Reish Lakish, another interaction between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish's child, the Yosef Amar, that Reish Lakish was sitting and saying over, Reish Lakish's child was sitting and saying over the pasuk, Yivelas Adam Tesalif Darko, Val Hashem Yizaf Libo, that a person goes astray and he does bad things, and who does he get angry at when things turn sideways? He gets angry at Hashem. He blames HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yas Rabbi Yochanan Vakamatama, Amar Mika, Midi Tchsiv Biksuv Vlo Remizi Bar Raisa. So Rabbi Yochanan heard that pasuk and he said, it's a pasuk in Mishlei. How could it be that there's no remez in the Torah for such a pasuk? Everything that it says in Nach, there's a remez to in the Torah. Amle Atu Hamilo Remizi. So Reish Lakish's kid said, yeah, there is a remez in the Torah of Aksiv. What happened? The brothers of Yosef turn to each other and they say, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to us? What do you mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu? They're the ones that sold the brothers. They're brothers. They're the ones that put themselves in this position. But you see that a person does something wrong and they say that, and they turn around and they blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Marsha points out that the Gemara makes this point even though they go on to say, Aval Hashem Imanachnu Alachinu. Right? They go on to admit that they were the ones that were wrong. But still, the fact that they turned to Hashem, that it's us Hashem Lanu at all, is considered to be a fault on some level. So Rabbi Yochanan was so impressed with the Yanuk of Reish Lakish, he lifts up his eyes and he looks at him. Rabbi Yochanan had these heavy eyelashes. He lifts up his eyes and he looks at the child. Asya Ime Apikte, the child's mother comes and takes him away. And she says, you better get away from this guy. She didn't like Rabbi Yochanan. You better get away from Rabbi Yochanan so that he doesn't do to you what he did to your father. Apparently, Rabbi Yochanan gazed at Reish Lakish, and that caused Reish Lakish to die. So the child's mother said, he already killed my husband. I don't need him to kill my child as well. And got the child away from Rabbi Yochanan. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, another comment of Rabbi Yochanan. Matar b'shvil yachad, parnasa b'shvil rabim. When it rains on account of an individual, of even an individual. When it comes to parnasa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu providing parnasa, That's on account of the Rabbim. So the Achronim all point out, we had a Gemara and Daf Beis. The Gemara spoke about the three Maftechos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps. And one of the Maftechos is the Maftech of Geshamim. And then the Gemara said that there's an opinion that there's a fourth Maftech, the Maftech of Parnassa. So why didn't we list it in the original three? Why weren't there four originally? Because Parnassa and Geshamim are the same thing. That rain and Parnassa are one and the same. So the Achronim asked, well, wait a second. Over here we're saying Matar's Bishul Yachid, Parnas Bishul Rabbim. Not only they're not, they work by different rules. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause it to rain for a Yachid, and Parnasa is Bishul Rabbim. Apparently they're not the same. So the Gilyonei Hashas raises another question. He says the Gemara later on is going to say that Kol Olam Nizam Bishul Chanina Bini. So we see that there is Parnasa Bishul Yachid. So some say based on the Marsha that Parnasa Bishul Rabbim means a shefa in an unnatural way, in a miraculous way, and that's the pasuk we're going to quote from the Man. Whereas Matar Bishvil Yachid means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to sustain the world in a natural way. So Parnassa is referring to unnatural blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings, and Matar refers to natural blessings like rain. Matar Bishvil Yachid Dechziv. So the Gemara says we know that it rains for the sake of a Yachid Dechziv, because the pasuk says Yiftach Hashem Lecha Esot Zara Tov Lasesis Matar Tzicha in the singular. Parnassa Bishvil Rabim Dechziv Hinni Mamtir Lachem Lechem, in the plural, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes it to rain down bread, and that's obviously a reference to the Man. Meisvei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Domer Shalosh Parnassim Tov Mamdul Yisrael Elohim Moshevar Miriam. So we're going to ask a question. It's going to take us about 20 lines till we get to the punchline of the question, but we're going to ask a question whereby we're going to prove that we see that Parnassa comes about even for the sake of an individual, even in the schus of a single individual. So how do we see that? Well, we start with the idea that there were three great leaders of the Jewish people, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. V'gimel matanos tovos nitnu al yadam. And there were three great benefits and gifts that Klal Yisrael got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the zechus of these three great leaders. Ve'elu hein, Be'er va'anan u'man. The Be'er, the Anan that protected us, and the Man. Be'er b'zechus Miriam, Amur Anan b'zechus Aaron, and Man b'zechus Moshe. Each of them were b'zechus, a different one of our great leaders. Mesa Miriam, as soon as Miriam died, Nistalik ha-Be'er, the Be'er went away. Shenemar v'tamashem Miriam. It says Miriam dies, uksiv basrei, v'lo hayamayim leida. And right after that it says, and all of a sudden there's no more water. So v'chazu b'zechus Shneim. But then the Be'er came back in the zechus of the two surviving siblings. Aaron died, and Stalku Ananikavod. The Ananikavod went away. Shenemar, Veishma Hakanani Melech Arad, Mashmua Shama. What did the Kanani hear? Shama, Shemes Aaron, and Stalku Ananikavod. So they heard that the Aaron died and the Ananikavod were gone. Ukasavar, Nitnalo Rishusli Lachem Yisrael. So they figured that they have permission and the ability to wage a war against Klal Yisrael. Vainadukhsiva, Yiru Kala Eda, Kigava Aaron. That's what the Pazuk says, that everyone saw that Aaron had died. Amar Rabbi Avo, not that they saw, but that they were afraid. And it's not they saw that Aaron died, they were afraid because Aaron died. The word ki could mean four different things. It could mean e, dilma, ella, or deha. So it could mean because, or it could mean that. So the Pashut reading of the Pashut, because everyone saw that Aaron died. But the way we're teaching it is that, no, everyone was afraid because, deha, because Aaron died. So now that we lost out on the Ananim, Chazru Shneim b'zchus Moshe. They both came back, the Be'er and the Anane, and the Anan came back in the zchus of Moshe Rabbeinu, even after both Miriam and Aaron died. Meis Moshe and Nistalku Kula. And once Moshe Rabbeinu dies, then they're all gone. Shneimar v'achidah shloshes haron b'yarech echad. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I took away your three shepherds, your three great leaders, in 1 month. But that's not true. It wasn't in 1 month. V'chi b'yarech echad meisu. Did they all die in 1 month? V'lo Miriam meisu b'nisan v'aron b'av Moshe b'adar. It was actually three different months that they died in. El Malamit Shinspatu Gim Matanostovos Shnasal Yadan Vinistalku Kulan Biyar Chechad. Now the point is the three Matanostovos were all gone in 1 month. They all disappeared in a single month.
Alma Ashkan Parnasa Bishvil Yachid. And that's our question. We see that Parnasa comes for the sake of a Yachid. On account of Moshe Rabbeinu, we had all three things. Or on account of Miriam, we had the Be'er. On account of Aaron, we had the Anan. On account of Moshe, we had the Man. So it comes about because of a Yachid. Says Gemara, Shiny Moshe, Kivin Del Rabim Huboyi, Kirabim Dami. That sometimes an individual rises to the level where he's not just an individual. He is so necessary for the Tzibur that he becomes like the Tzibur. That his role is so great that he becomes like the Tzibur. It's a concept that Chazal have. So Moshe Rabbeinu rises to the level where he himself is the Tzibur of Salvechik. Commented on the kinos that we say on Tisha B'Av, that we have a kino for Yoshio Amelech. For an individual, why would we have a kinas dafka for an individual? It's a day of national tragedy. And he said it's this point that when you have a person whose impact is so great on the entire community, so sometimes an individual becomes a tzibur. An individual has a din of a tzibur, takes on the status of a tzibur. It's also in Marsha points out that the Gemara B'Metzia tells us that in the zechus of Avram Avinu we rezocha to the man and the ananim and the be'er, all three of these things. So the Marsha points out seems like a stira in sugyas. Is it Avram's zchus or is it the zchus of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam? So the Marsha suggests that the zchus of Avram, we got these matanos. The fact that we sustained these matanos, that they continued, was in the zchus of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. That's certainly what it sounds like from the Gemara. That when they died, so that's when they were discontinued. But the initial matana coming maybe was in the zchus of Avram Avinu. Rav Huna bar Menoch, Rav Shmuel bar Yidi, Rav Chiya Mevastanya, Havashchichi Kamei D'Rava. Three gedolei Amorai used to learn by Rava. Kinach nafshei to Rava. When Rava died, also came to Rav Papa. So they went and they had to find a new Rebbe. So they went to Rav Papa. Kalema stava amalu shmeit of love misavalu have meram ziyadadi. Every time Rav Papa would say something that they didn't like, that they didn't think was a logical thing, they'd start rolling their eyes and making faces to each other. You know, like Rava would never say something like this. Chalash daite. So Rav Papa started getting upset. It was a little disconcerting as he's giving the shir. Sometimes, you know, the magid shir feeds off of the facial expressions of everyone who's listening. So Kriya Bechalme, so they was read to them in a dream, the pasuk Va'achir Shloshes Harom, that these three shepherds are going to be gone. L'machruk Yav Miftri Minei, the next day when they were taking leave of Rav Papa, Amrulu Lizra Ban Bishalma. So he said, you should go Bishalma. Now there's a question what the girsa should be. Should it be Bishalma or Lishalma over here? The question is based on the Gemara Maseches Brachas of Samach Dalit and the Gemara Moed Katan Daf Chavtes. The Gemara says if someone is Niftar Mechavero, so if you're taking leave of a living person, you're not supposed to say Leich Bishalom, you're supposed to say Leich Lishalom. That the Nusach makes a difference. Leich Lishalom is for a living person, Leich Bishalom is for a dead person. So the question is, how kind do you expect that Rav Papa was being to them? If you take the Girsa that they should go Bishalma, so it could be that he was saying, that pasuk you saw in the dream, good, you deserve it. And he was telling them, goodbye. But if it's Leich Lishalom, he was trying to be nice to them. He was trying to say, no, I dafka want you to live, and I don't hold a grudge, and I don't want anything to happen to you. So that's the Girsa issue over here, Leich Bishalom or Leich Lishalom, Bishalma or Lishalma. Okay, Rav Simi Barashi, Havashkiah Kamed Rav Papa. Rav Simi Barashi used to learn by Rav Papa also, Havamakshi Leituva, and he was relentless in asking questions. He was constantly with a barrage of questions. Yom Echad, Chazi D'Nafal Alpe, one time Rav Simi Barashi saw that his Rebbe, Rav Papa, was saying, Tachnun, Shamei Da'amar Rachmana Litzlan Mikisufa D'Simi, and he overheard that during his Tachnun, Rav Papa offered a tefillah that Hashem should save me from the embarrassment of having to deal with Simi's questions, because he asks all these good questions. Sometimes it's embarrassing that I don't know the answer. There's always that one student in the class where the teacher is terrified every time he raises his hand, that this one's going to be a good one. So he says, Rachmana Litzlan, Hashem should save me. It used to be during Tachlin, that's when they would add in their bakashos, and apparently that's when they were most effective, the bakashos. We have several stories in Chazal like that, where during Tachlin, specifically the time, where they'd add the bakashos. So Rav Simi heard that, Kabbalah Leishtikusa Visulo Akshile. He said, you know what, maybe I should stop asking so much. So he was makabal upon himself that he's going to be shosik, he's not going to ask questions. In the end of the Masechta, in the Piskei Tosos writes that Talmidei Chachamim call echad modu l'chaveru bein ala emes bein ala sheker, that talmidei chachamim should always be modu l'chaveru both on emes and on sheker. And the achronim write that doesn't appear anywhere in Tosos and all in the entire Masechta. Normally Piskei Tosos are a summary of what it says in Tosos in the Masechta, but it's a reference to the Gemara over here that is makabel, that even if he hears a svara that according to him doesn't sound true, he's not going to ask questions so that not to embarrass. So you should be moda bein al emes bein al sheker, meaning not only be moda al emes and accept that, but even if his rebbe says something that sounds like sheker, he's going to accept that as well. That's where the Piskei Tosos got that from. The question, of course, is that the Gemara tells us midvar sheker tirchak. The Gemara in Shavuos Daf Lamed Aleph has like 14 different drushes from midvar sheker tirchak. What it means that you're supposed to stay away from sheker. One of them is that minayin le Talmud sheyoshev pnei rabo v'roa shehiter es ha'asur zika sachayiv shalo yishtok. How do I know that a Talmud is sitting in front of the Rebbe and the Rebbe says something that's wrong, that he should not sit there quietly? He should say something that you got it wrong. Midvar sheker tirchak. That's the pasuk midvar sheker tirchak. You shouldn't sit there and take it. So the Achronim suggest that what you have to say is that there's a difference between something that's la halacha and something that's not la halacha. That if the Rebbe makes a mistake and something that's la halacha, so then he needs to be corrected. But if he makes a mistake that has, I guess what you would say is somewhat less significant than something that's going to matter, halacha lemaisa, so then you always have to measure out when it's worth it to make corrections. Just like we pointed out the other day when it comes to correcting a balkore. Of course, we don't want him to make any mistake, not in trup and not in pronunciation, not in anything. But there's a trade-off. Every time you correct a person publicly, you're dealing with the issue of being mevaza them, of being mevaish pnei chavero, that you're embarrassing the person. So sometimes the Talmud, apparently from this Gemara, should realize that it's not worth it. But very often it is worth it. He has to know when it's worth it, when it's not. Va'afrish lakish savar mutar b'shvil yachid. It's like sometimes when a person misspeaks, and it's very obvious to everyone that heard what he meant, that he misspoke, that he used the wrong word. So there's always that one guy that has to, you know, that has to scream out, no, you meant this. Everyone knows what he meant. Everyone knows, you know, you can go with it. Everyone understands. But, you know, so you have to realize when it's worth to correct, when it's not worth it to correct. V'av Reish Lakish Savar Matar B'Shul Yachad. Reish Lakish also holds, like Rabbi Yochanan, that it rains on account of an individual, that for the sake of an individual, Kodesh Baruch Hu will bring rain. Dam Reish Lakish Minayin L'Matar B'Shul Yachad. How do I know that it rains for the sake of an individual? D'chsiv, Shalom Hashem Matar Beis Malkosh, Hashem Osech Hazizu, Matar Geshem Yitin Lahem, Le'ish Esev Basada. So Hashem is going to bring rain, Le'ish, on the grass in the field. Yochla kol. So you might think it's only for everybody that Hashem brings rain. Tamalomar le'ish. That's why it says le'ish, even an individual. V'tanya, and we have a bris, says I le'ish yochla kol sadosav. So I would say, okay, so for an individual, but only if all, maybe I would think it's only if all of his fields need rain, then Hashem will bring rain. Tamalomar sada. That's why the pasuk says sada. That even if it's not all of his fields, even if one guy has one field that needs rain, Hashem will bring the rain in that person's zuchus. I sada yochla kol. So if it just said sada, you would think, okay, but that's only if his entire field needs rain, but not if only some of his field needs rain. Tamalomar esev. That's why it says esev. Kiyad Rav Daniel Bar Katina havle ahiginas. So like Rav Daniel Bar Katina had a certain garden. Kol yoma va'azel v'sayirla. Every day he would go and check on the progress and the status of his garden. Amar hamish rabayamaya, hamish rabayamaya. And he would say, this row could use a little more water. This row doesn't need water. And wherever he said needs water, it would rain on. And it wouldn't rain in the other parts of his field. So you see, not only for a yachid, not only for one field of a yachid, even for one row of a field of a yachid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring rain. My Hashem Osa Chazizim. This pasuk that we quoted, though, the Reish Lakish quoted, says Hashem Osa Chazizim. Hashem makes clouds. So what's that about? Each tzaddik gets their own cloud that Hakadosh Baruch Hu makes for them. My Chazizim. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Parchos. What kinds of clouds are Chazizim? So Rabbi Yehuda says they are the flying clouds. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Similar matter Parchos. If you want to know if it's going to rain, look for the flying clouds or the floating clouds. My Parchos. What does that mean? Floating clouds. Amra Papa Iva Kalisha to say Iva Samichta. It's when you have a weaker cloud underneath a heavier cloud. When you see that, then you know that it's going to rain. Amra Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says, Nihila Makami Mitra. If there's a little bit of rain before a heavier rain, then Asi Mitra. Then you know there's going to be sustained rain. You're going to go into a sustained period of rain. Basar mitra, if there's a small rain after a regular rain, pasuk mitra, then you know rain is ending, that there's not going to be a sustained rain. Mekami mitra, asi mitra, v'siminayich mahulta. If it comes before the rain, you know that it's going to be a sustained rain. The simon to that is the way a sieve works, that first the little pieces go through and then the larger pieces. The basar mitra, pasuk mitra, v'siminayich charya di'izi. The way to remember that is the excrement of a goat, that the way it relieves itself apparently is the larger pieces first and then the smaller pieces. Ula ikla lebavel, chaza parchos. Ula went to Bavel and he saw these kinds of rain clouds. So he got all excited. He knew that when you see these kinds of clouds, it means it's going to rain. So Amrlu, panu mani dahashta asimitra. He says, get all the kelim out of the yard because now it's going to rain. So clear anything out that you don't want to get wet. Lesof lo asimitra. And then it didn't rain. Amr ki echid mishakri bavlai, hachi mishakri mitrayu. He says, just like the Bnei Bavel are a bunch of liars, so too their rain is a liar also. So what's this thing with Sheker and Bavel? Masha explains that we started today's shir by saying that rain doesn't come because of poskei tzedakah barabim veinam nosanim, people who commit to give tzedakah publicly and then don't give the tzedakah. That's what stops the rain from coming. When there are rain clouds and then it doesn't rain, that's a similar Kosh Baruch is saying that it should have rained now, but it's not going to. That's atziras geshamin. So that's what he's looking at. He looks at the rain clouds, doesn't rain. He says, must be that these people are a bunch of liars, that they commit to giving tzedakah and then they end up not giving tzedakah. The Gemara Maseches Beitza Daf Lamed Beis says that Ashirei Bavel are miyordei gehenim because they're not merachamim to give tzedakah. And even though they're the ones that say halach ma'anya di kaldich min yesi v'yechal, we're going to give, anyone wants to come, we're going to give. That's the lashon of Bavel, that's Aramaic, right? We're going to give, but they don't actually deliver. So since they don't actually deliver, that's why there's that Sirus Geshamim in Bavel. Ne'en Eliyahu, he says that Hadar Ba'aretz is Kamishi Yishla Aloka is because Chosom Yishla Kodesh Baruch Hu is MS. And someone who lives in Eretz Yisrael is more connected to MS. When you live in Chutz La'aretz, we're at a greater distance from the MS. That's the sheker of the rain even. Ula Iklal Bavel, Ula went to Bavel once, Chazi Malatzina de Tamri Bezuza. He saw that they were selling a whole basket full of dates for a single zuz, an incredibly cheap price. Amr Malatzina de Duvsha Bezuza Bavloi Luaski Baraisa. He says they sell such delicious sweet food for a zuz, and the Bnei Bavel aren't busy learning all day. When food is so cheap, they should be learning all day. Belele Tziaruhu, that night, after eating, stuffing his face with all the sweet dates, his stomach was killing him. Amar Malitzina de Sakina Bazuza Bavlai Aski Baraisa. He says, wow, they sell these knives that could rip apart your stomach for a zuz, and still the Bnei Bavel learn at all. He's impressed now that they learn at all. Tanya Rav Lazar Amar Kolom Kulam Mimeme Ukaino Sushas. So now we're getting into the Machlokas. How does rain come about? So Rav Lazar says, all water in the world comes from the ocean. Shenemar Ve'edi Alam in Aretz Vishkas Kol Pnei Adama. That a cloud comes up from the ground, comes from the ocean, goes and makes clouds, and then it comes back down. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, v'lo memiu kanis meluchin. And he says, it can't be, because the ocean is salt water, and the rainwater is not salt water, the rainwater is fresh water. So how could that possibly work, that it comes from the ocean, and then comes back down as fresh water? Amar lo memtikin bavim, he says, mematkin bavim, he says, Hashem does magic in the clouds, it becomes sweetened in the clouds, and the salt goes away. But it is that same water, it's just the salt becomes purified. Rabbi Yeshua, amar kolom kulam imayim elyonim ushos. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, all the water that comes down in the rain comes from Mayim Elyonim. It does not come from the ocean. Shnem l'matar Hashemayim tishta Mayim. Elamani mekayim ve'edi alam in aretz. Aye, but what do you do with the pasuk that says that a cloud is going to come up from down here? He says, Malamit sha'ananim eskabim v'olim l'arkiyo poskun p'yem kenod u'mekabim me'matar. What happens is the cloud is like a container. So the cloud itself, that comes from the ocean. But then once it goes up to the sky, on the top of the cloud where we don't see it, there's a door that opens up and the water comes in from the Elyonim and fills the cloud. And then that water comes down to give rain. It has holes in it like a sieve. And it lets out all the water on the karka. In between one drop of rain and another is a hair breadth of space. And that teaches us the great miracle of rain, that it's like Briyas Shemayim Varet. That's the gedolos arein cheker that Hashem causes it to rain. Uksiv la'alan haloyadatim lo shemata l'keolam Hashem ein cheker l'tvun asav. Keman oz lahad uksiv mashka arum e'aliyosav v'am rabi yochum e'aliyosav shal kodesh baruch hu whose shita is followed by the drasha that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings water, Mei Ali Yosav, Kiman Rabbi Yeshua, that's like Rabbi Yeshua, says that it all comes from the heavens. Rabbi Lazar, Kivin Desalki Lasa, Mashka Mei Ali Yosav, Kari Lu. Rabbi Lazar will say, no, Mashka Mei Ali Yosav means that since when we see it's coming down from Shemayim, even though it originated in the ocean, that's also called Mashka Mei Ali Yosav. Dilote Mahachi, because if you don't say that, Avak Vafar Min HaShemayim, we say that dirt comes from Shemayim, Hechi Mishkachasa, what does that mean? El Kivin Demadli since the wind blows it up and then it comes back down, we call that it comes from Shemayim, even though it's not actually coming, originating from Shemayim. The drasha that says that it all starts from the depths, that it's all the water of the depths that goes up and comes back down. Who does that follow? Says Rabbi Lazar. That goes like Rabbi Lazar. And Rabbi Yeshua would respond, that's only talking about the Briyas Olam, that's not talking about the consistent rain that we actually get. So Be'ez Hashem will pick up Daf Yud Aleph tomorrow. Oh, yeah.